Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Memvov. And let's take a look just where we are at. We've been discussing the nature of the awareness that is necessary for making an Erev Tumim or for being Kinyan Shvisa. So the question of Kinyan Shvisa, we went in various levels. The most extreme level was that you not only need to be conscious, but you need to have specific intent to be kaina the mokum eruv, mokum shvisa, where you are. The next thing in order was that you need to be conscious, but you don't need specific intent. You just need to be heading towards that city, and then even if you didn't realize that you were within range, it would still be a kosher eruv. The next level that we had was that actually you didn't need to be even aware of the fact that you were headed towards that place or that you were within range of that place. The next level that we had was that you could even be asleep. And that would mean that having the incipient consciousness that would be active if you were awake would be sufficient. The next level is that even if there is no possibility of awareness, you're talking about dormant things, you're talking about rocks and whatever it is, a glass, a cup that's outdoors, that even Heftzei Hefker would be able to be kind of an Eruv, but that's only if there was the das of individuals that wanted that Eruv for that thing. So that was the case of the water that falls near the city. The lowest Madrega of all is that Heftzei Hefker would be kind of without any das whatsoever. So the question was, yesterday we recognized that it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who must have been the most maker, or most machred, depending on how you look at it, depending on the case, obviously. Most maker in the case of the sleeping human that is able to be kind of Mokum Shvisa, and he has the 2,000 amas from all sides. He's most machmer, on the other hand, when it comes to the cup that's lying outdoors that has, you can't move outside of its own tron, because he would hold that you don't need consciousness at all in order to be Kaina. So we have both Chumra and Kula in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he was the one who said that we can dispense with consciousness in the dinim of Kinyan Mokom. Now that's going to end up becoming today very important, and that's because of the following Psak Halacha. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi paskened in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that we go according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Fine. Now that's mashma. We go according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri under any circumstances, whether it means we can dispense of consciousness, lakula, to be kaina for a human a place, or lachumra, that a chavtzei hefker is going to a place. So what's interesting was that Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi whether, did he hear that directly, or is he basing it on something that he heard from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? He said, I heard it directly. Okay, why did you ask? Says the Gemara, why did he ask? Because there was an overall general statement that was a psak by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not specifically like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but rather a general rule, namely, that the din is halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev. We always go lekula when it comes to the dinim of erev. So we thought that what you meant was that vis-a-vis the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who's makel to be makna to an adam, that's why you said halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But it wasn't that he really said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He just said the halacha is like the divrei makel, and in that issue, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes out to be the makel. So it turns out that there was really two separate piskei halachas by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, one of which said beferish the halacha is kedivrei. That the halacha is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the other is an implication of the general rule that we always go lakula when it comes to Erev. But, I mean, then the question is, if that's the case, why did we need to mention two separate halachas? I mean, he says, I heard it directly, right? This is what Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, that I heard Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi directly, which means Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gave two redundant piskei halachas. So what was the point of his paskening both a general rule, lakula, which would have included this din, and on the other hand, to pasken that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when it seems that I could have derived that from the other? So this is what we'd like to understand today. And it turns out that it's very important for us that we recognized earlier that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has two implications. One, legabe the Adam, which would be Lakula, and one, legabe the Kalim of Chavtzei Hefker, which would be Lachumra. And therefore, we needed to have both of these Piskei Halachas. So therefore, Tzricha, the Yashmaninan, Halachat Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So if you're going to tell me Halacha goes according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I would have thought that that meant Bein Lakula Bein Lachumra, which would mean that even Chavtzei Hefker would be Kena Mokab Shvisa, and therefore I wouldn't be allowed to move them out of their current location, which is a big Chumrah. And just because I'm the new owner doesn't mean that they take on my Tchum. I'm stuck with their original Tchum. Therefore, comes on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says, now, wait a minute, anything that I say about Halacha by Erevin is means that we go Kedivrei HaMeikel. All I'm saying is, that will give a tchum to a human who's sleeping, because that's a kula. But we will not give a tchum like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to an object of hefker. Okay, fine. So then just say that, right? So then lema, halacha kedivrei HaMeikel be'erev. Why mention Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri at all? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because you see, if I would have said only that the halacha is kedivrei HaMeikel, it would be easy for me to think that that is where we have even sides. In other words, you have a yochid against the yochid, you have a rabbim against the rabbim, and then we don't have to take into consideration any other principle, like yochid v'rabbim, halacha k'rabbim. We don't have to worry about that. So now I'm giving you another general principle that you can apply. And what is that? If it's lakula, then we paskin lakula when it comes to erevin. But if it would be, let's say, a yochid b'mokam rabbim, I didn't say you can ignore the general rule. There's an overarching principle that we go according to the rabbi. I mean, who's to say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi meant Bupaskin Nakula even against the rabbi? In which case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who's arguing with the Rabbanan, wouldn't have been covered by that statement. Therefore, he needs to come along and to say, now listen here, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, despite the fact that it was a rabbi that was Chaylak Halacha. Now, gentlemen, as we've seen, we have made use of Masechet Erevin as a mekor in understanding general principles about Teresh Baal Peh and about the specific cases of where we'll paskin, like Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. We're about to embark on a list of kolim in terms of how to paskin, and of course, it's very reasonable that that appears here in Hilchos Erevin, in Maseches Erevin, because this is, remember, the beginning of the expansion of the Rabbanan. It's the Mishmeret of Avram Avinu himself, which was the first reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces that he's Tomech in Avram, that he loves Avram, that he's Vayishmoras Mishmarti, and we learn from there that he kept even these dinim of Erevin. And therefore, the earliest takanas, remember, of Shlomo HaMelech and so on. So because of that, we have all of the various dinim. Now, one of the dinim is the question of Yochid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim. That's a general rule. The issue is, do we say that as a general principle on a D'oraisa, where because of the fact that we go l'chumrah, so we will take the das of the Rabim, and there's a special chumrah listening to the Rabim, but maybe where it comes to Rabbanan, we won't apply that rule. And that is what Rava says. Says Rava to Abaye, what kind of explanation is that for the multiplicity of unnecessary piskei halachas by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, namely, A, halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and B, halacha kedivrei HaMeikel. Remember, Erevin is only Durabbanan. And if it's only Durabbanan, would I care whether it's Yochid or Rabbin? So you who try to explain the reason for the redundant psak is to cover even the case where it was Yochid v'Rabbin, namely Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri against Durabbanan, I don't see why I need that. Mirte, I mean, we're talking about Erevin, which is a Dinder Rabbanan. In a Dinder Rabbanan, who cares? Mali Yachid b'makom Yachid, Mali b'yachim Yachid b'makom Rabim. It's all the same, isn't it? Amalei Rav Papa Rava, what? You think it's all the same? You don't think there's a difference between a Yachid b'makom Yachid and a Yachid b'makom Rabim? What about in a Beferish Mishnah that we had in Nida? Remember that we have the Machlokas. First of all, we have a general principle. A general principle is that we are concerned that at the point of the discovery of any menstrual blood, we're worried, only Lagabi the Dinim of Tyrus, remember, but we're worried that actually that blood might have been there held internally in a place where already it was considered to be going out of the body internally, but it hasn't exited the vagina. Therefore, we don't see it, but it would have been metame anyway. So because of that, we made a gezeira that when it comes to Tyrus, if this woman had been Isaac in Tyrus, we had, remember, midway between Bejama and Beit Hillel, 24 hours, we had me'es le'es that were metamim le'mafreya. Now, Rabbi Elazar said that any woman of any age that has missed three periods is considered to be misuleket damim, and because of that, we won't be machmer on her in that 24-hour prior period on Tyrus. And the Rabbanan would say, what do you mean, any woman? Any woman can miss a period or two or three. We're talking about over here a woman who is near the age in which we're assuming she would be entering menopause. So if she is close to Ziknata, defined here, of course, in terms of reproductive Ziknata, so then you're right. If she misses three periods, we assume that she's beginning menopause. But in a general case, a younger person who misses three periods, we do not consider her to be misuleket damim, and therefore we will be machmer on her to be metame me'es le'es. Now, so even though Rabbi Elazar says any woman she'avra la shalosh aynes, the din is daya shaita, and she's only tamei at this moment and not 24 hours previously, the Braita says that once Rebbe did halacha l'maaseh like Rabbi Elazar, and he was matir these tyrants, and he said it's okay, they're not tamei, because Rabbi Elazar says that you don't have to worry because this woman had already missed three periods. After he remembered, now it doesn't say after he remembered what, but after he remembered, meaning he realized he did something wrong, we have to figure out what he did wrong, but after he realized he did something wrong, he said, well, you know what, in a pinch, you can rely on Rabbi Elazar. It's only because it's in a pinch. What exactly the pinch was, Zimachlokas Rashi and Tosis, Rashi learns the pinch was, this is called Shas HaTchak, the pinch was that it was a difficult year, there were not enough rains, we didn't have enough food, and therefore to be metame, all of that Tyrus would be a problem. Tosis learns it's a question of Hefset Tyrus, it was a lot of Tyrus, wasn't that it was a difficult year, because there the Rabbanan are also made, and he brings Raya's bell. Okay, again, this is not our sugya, it's not important to us now. What's important to us is, let's try to figure out what it means when it says that after he realized, okay, after he realized what did he do wrong? I mean, if you're going to tell me after he realized that the halacha is like Rabbanan and not like Rabbi Elazar, that's ridiculous. You can't rely on somebody where the psak halacha was not like him, right? So apparently there hadn't been So apparently there had not been a clear psak halacha. All right, so then what did he realize he did wrong? Oh, so it must be that the lo itmar yochet lo Rabbi Elazar lo Rabbanan, because we're not going to rely on a beferisha, not halacha, just because it's a pinch. Must be that there was no clear-cut psak halacha, and after Rebbe remembered that those who argue on Rebbe Elazar, and they say that missing three periods in a younger woman does not take off the din of me'et le'eid, and he suddenly realized that those who disagree with Rebbe Elazar, oh my God, they are a rabbi, and Rebbe Elazar is a yochid. How can I rely on Rabbi Elazar if there's a rabbim connected? Now remember, this din of being metamei l'mafreya 24 hours is a total derabbanan, right? There's absolutely no such issue at all, midiraisa. She has a cheskas tyra and so on. It's ridiculous. Okay, but in order to have this chumra for tyrus, the rabbanan regards to this din. And nonetheless, here's Rebbe saying, oh my God, how could I rely on Rabbi Elazar to go l'kula? After all, it's a rabbim that's chalek on him. Well, in a pinch, I can do that. But you see that it's only because it was a pinch, right? In other words, in general, I would be forced to say that if there's a yachid v'rabim, halachic rabim, even in a derabbanan, and that shows that Rava is wrong. What's Rava sitting here complaining? What do you mean? Who needs a separate psak? Who cares if it's a rabim or a yachid? It's only a derabbanan anyway. So you see that you were wrong in claiming that we will always go l'kul in a derabbanan, even can I get a rabim? Rav Misharsha says to Rava, I have another raya that you're wrong, or something, it was Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Namely, You don't hold, but Rabbanan, there's no difference between a Yochid and a Rabbim. That doesn't make sense. There's a Braita that says, that if somebody hears a Shmua of a death in the family, and it's a Shmua Rechoka, he didn't hear about it on time. So if it's a Shmua Krova, we're going to define what that means. If it's a Shmua Krova, so then it's the normal Dinim, Shiva, Shloshim, apply. But if it's a Shmua Rechoka, then the Avelut is kept only for one day, and that's all. Now, what is Krova and what is Rechoka? Here's where we get into a Machlokas that has to do with a Yochanan and a Rabbi. So the din is like this. According to Rabbi Akiva, if it's within 30 days of the death, it's considered to be a still current piece of news. So that's called a Krova. If it's after 30 days, it's no longer current events. But the Chachomim say, I don't care if it's a Shmua Krova, I don't care if it's a Shmua Rechoka, it's the same din of Shiva and Shloshim. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying that wherever you have, this is another klal now, not part of our general klal, that wherever you will find a general rule, a case where you have a Yochid who's being Mekam and a Rabbim who's being Machmir, even though it's a Derabbanan, like Avelut, Halacha Kedivrei HaMachmirin HaMirubim, except in this case. Because in this case, we will paskin like Rabbi Akiva, even though it's the Chachomim that are Machmir and Rabbi Akiva who's Mekam, nonetheless, we'll paskin like the Yochid, like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Only because Rabbi Yochanan holds of another general rule, and that other general rule is the Omar Shmuel, Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel BeAvel. There's a special din in the dinim of Avelut that we always go Lakula, which reminds me that there's also a Zikoron that we're supposed to be having today of Moshe. Moshe's father forgot to announce. You want to please tell us the name that we're learning, Lezecher?
Yitzhak ben Sima.
Or Yitzhak ben?
The mother or the father? Or
father.
Mordechai.
Yitzhak ben Mordechai. Okay. So what do you see from here? That the only reason that we're being makel and we're not taking into consideration that Yochid v'Rabim, Halacha k'Rabim, is not because it's Derabbanan, but because there's a special rule about Avelut, like Shmuel said. But generally, if we were talking about a Derabbanan, Afilo b'Derabbanan, there would be a big difference between Yochid b'Makom Yochid and Yochid b'Makom Rabim. So where does Rava come off saying, now it's a difference in a Derabbanan? Okay, so this means that Lechora, our original answer holds, right? And that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gave two separate Piskei Halachas, one Legabe, the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because even though he was a Yochid, and one that was a general Halacha that we go Kedivrei HaMekel when it comes to Divrei Erev. Now, the truth is, however, I mean, Rava didn't like that Teretz. I mean, are there other Tirutzim as to why it is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gave two apparently redundant Piskei Halachas? Says Rav Papa, yes, there's another obvious reason why we need to have those two separate Halachas. Not because it's a Yochid v'Rabim issue, if you happen to hold like Rava, you don't need to get into that. I'll tell you why. Because Sa'alka Daita Chamina, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that the Halacha is Kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv, okay, but Erevin. What Erevin are we talking about? Because remember, we have two different sets of Erevin, and we have three different Erevin. We have one set of Erevin that has to do with the nature of Rishuyas. That includes two members in that set. One is the din of Eruv Chatzeros, and one is the din of Shituf Mivaot. Then we have another set of Erevin, which is a totally different issue, which has nothing to do with the concept of Rishuyos, but which has to do with a different aspect of the spatial implications of Shabbat, which is the Al Yetze Ish B'Mekomo, and that's a new concept called Tchumim. And as we've seen, the interplay between those two issues has been extremely intricate and is choreographed here in Masechet Erevin beautifully in all kinds of different ways in which these two concepts play with each other. So I might have thought that when we came out with this psak of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that the halacha is kedivrei hamekel, and he didn't describe which erevin he's talking about, I might have applied it only to one set of those erevin, namely the set of chatzerot mevo'ot. So hanimili be'eruvei chatzerot. But when it comes to the other set of erevin, which is the eruvei tchumim, which is the fundamental, most important element of erevin, this is the question of the girsa, the correct girsa by Avram Avinu, that he, what was he shomer when he was shomer eruvei chatzerot, that it should say eruvei tchumim. And the fundamental takana of erevin, as Rashi points out over here, is the takana of eruvei tchumim, not of eruvei chatzerot. So then maybe I would have said that there is no such halacha, and then he never paskin in this way at all. Therefore, Tzricha, we need Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to tell us that the halacha is k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri anyway. Please text. Now, why would we assume that there would be a difference between Eruvei Tchumim and Eruvei Chatzeres? Minot Temra, the Shanilon, ben Eruvei Chatzeres l'Eruvei Tchumim halacha l'maisa? I'll tell you very clearly, there's a Mishnah later on where we need to deal with the question of whether you have to have a person have his obvious consent in order to make an erev. Suppose the guy's not home. Okay, you want to make an erev. So when it comes to eruvei tchumim, you have to get his permission. Obviously, you need to get his permission because you're giving him a problem. If you make anything for him, then it's going to limit him in the other direction. On the other hand, if he's in a chutzner and you need, he's not home and you need his participation, you do not need to be get his rishos. And that's because what's the problem? He doesn't really lose anything, does he? So basically, you're doing him a favor. And if you do a person a favor, that's the halacha. Ein chavin l'adam ela b'fanav. So here, when it comes to Eruvei Tchumim, you're going to create problems for him. Now, that shows that Eruvei Tchumim are more chomer. Now, as Tosis points out, it certainly proves nothing of the sort, right? Because, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it says the reason. The reason is because this is a chovah, and this isn't a chovah. What does it have to do with chumrah? It has nothing to do with chumrah. It's silly. So Tosis explains that, of course, we're not really, really basing it on this. Because if we were, it would be a bit ridiculous. We're just bringing an example. But the halacha is that even if a guy made it very clear that he was planning a trip to the east on that Shabbos, he forgot to make an Erev, and you want to make the Erev Tchumim for him, we're going to see later on, you cannot do that. And vice versa. In a case, there are cases where a guy said, I don't want to participate in the Eruv of the Chatzer, and we will make him participate, as we're going to see. So therefore, what we're really using here is just a key to break open the sugya, but it certainly is not really being proved, okay, by what it is that we said. So anyway, you see that the dinim of Eruv Chatzeres and Eruv Tchumim are very different. Okay, it is a fascinating discussion over here. I mean, I think it's early enough for me to take the time to deal with this issue. And let's talk about the next difference between them. Rav Ashi Amar Yitzrech. Rav Ashi says the reason that I need to have these two separate pesukei halachas is because Salkadai Tramina, Hanimil Bishiure Eruv, Avo Betchilat Eruv, Lo. There's a difference between a leftovers from an Erev. Let's say a guy makes this. This is done in many, many places where we have an Erev in town. So making the Erev in town, we don't go around making an Erev the Eruv Chatzeros, which is obviously necessary in order to use the Eruv. So we don't go around every single week making the Eruv Chatzeros. What we do is we make once a year the Eruv Chatzeros. Usually we use the matzah for Pesach. So we make an Eruv, utilizing that. We put it away in a special place. And then, I'm so sorry. And then we rely on that for the rest of the year. Now, what happens if the mice get to it, right? And it's partially eaten up. The halacha is that if it was good for that first Shabbos, Ben Hashmashas, as long as there's a little bit that would be enough for every member in the town or the chutzah that we've made it for, it's still kosher. And that's called Shiurei Erev. Now, the Shiurei Erev obviously therefore means that we're very, very makel in those dinim. But when it comes to a question of creating an Erev from scratch, and that would be, of course, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is creating a Mokum Shvisa now from scratch, maybe over there were Machmir. Because we know that there's such a difference. We know Tamer de Shanilon ben Shiurei Erev L'Tchilas Erev, because the Tzan Omer Rabbi Yossi, there's no problem. Shiurei Eruv afilu kolshu. The slightest little bit of Shiurei Eruv is sufficient, and therefore you see that we're obviously going to be maker. We don't need these big Shiurim in these cases. And here's the crucial thing that is a very important thing to know. Amachlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Velo Omru la'arev chatzerot. The only reason that we even make this din of Eruv on Chatzeros, this is how Rashi learns here, is because we want the children that grow up in a chotzer or in a city where there's an Eruv. So how are they ever going to learn about the dinim of Rishuyot on Shabbat? So if they need to go around and to collect Eruvs and so on. The kids love doing that. We send the kids around from door to door, and they're the ones that are going to remember because of that for their whole lives that this is what we used to do as kids. So they're going to be very deeply aware of the fact that there are different Rishuyos for Shabbos. That's the reason that we made an Eruv Chatzeros. Now that's how Rashi explains it over here. Lamaisa, in the Mishnah, where we discuss this later on, Rashi gives a different shot. And over there it's discussing, if anyway, this is something that's fascinating. How do we make a sheet of mevo'ot? We actually make an Erev with all of the chatzeros that open up into that mavoi, and we're mishatef all of those, the chatzeros, right? So, I mean, isn't that essentially a meda Erev? And once we've gone ahead with this Meda Erev, so then what do we need the lower level of Erev for in the Chatzar? We shouldn't even need it. There it says that since in the Mavui, the kids won't be involved. So we made, this is how Rashi explains it there. So we made also a need to continue doing the Eruv Chatzeros, even if it's going to be a Sheet of Mavaot, in order to involve the children. That's what it was referring to. But it wasn't referring to the Iker Takona of Eruv. Now Tosis over here says that Rashi's pshat here is the correct one. And that in fact, the whole Takona of Eruvin is really based on Eruv Tichumim, and we just wanted to get the kids involved, and we made an Eruv Chatzeros. This is going to turn out to be a fascinating conceptual issue as we go through the Masechet, so let's just recall it and move on. Okay, so I would have thought that maybe that's what he's referring to, and that's why we needed to have our two Piskei Halachos. We have three reasons for the need for the Piskei Halachos. One, Yochid V'Rabim, the other, the question of Eruvei Chatzeros versus Eruvei Tchumim, and the third was the question of Shiurei Eruv versus the original creation of Eruv. Okay. Now, once already we've learned all of these fascinating dinim that are general rules, and we learned general rules for Avelut, general rules for the Piskei Halachos of Eruvin, general rules for who to follow Yochid V'Rabim. There's some other general rules that we're going to bring. Agav is dinim. So, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika, they say some more general rules, which I'm sure you all remember. One is that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva when he's arguing with a yochid, but not when he's arguing with a rabbi. The other is that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi even when it's against a rabbi, and we paskin like Rabbi when it's against a yochid. Now, the question is, how definitive are these rules? Are they really binding lahalacha so that we can just go ahead and follow basically a cookbook? And we've got this recipe book. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, is it a yochid? Is it a rabbin? Rabbi, is it a yochid or a rabbin? Or is this a guidance issue? So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Asi says these are an actual halacha recipe book. You don't have to know anything about halacha and you can simply follow the rules. Paskin like Rabbi Akiva against a yochid, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says, no. It's not a recipe book. In other words, it's basically giving you guidance at how to paskin in particular cases. You certainly do not publicize that there is a halacha that people have a right to follow recipes in halachas. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Nichanina says it's worse than that. These aren't even individual guidances. They are simply near-in. They are your first take. You have a right to look at this. And it's giving you guidance. This is how to take your first assumptions. But then you've got to examine it and see whether it really makes sense to you in this particular case. You do not follow a rule blindly. So we have three different shitas. That same approach of three different possible levels of how to relate to generalities in Psak was also applied to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, which gave us other things. Namely, if there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. If there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, halachas like Rabbi Yossi. And obviously, if there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, so for sure, I don't even need to say to you, halachas like Rabbi Yossi, because if I just told you that even against Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, so Koshkin Rabbi Yossi, who overrules Rabbi Yehuda, for sure we would paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Omer of As, Afanilo made, I can also derive from what you just said, that if there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that the halakha is like Rabbi Yossi, because look, Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan said, that if there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So I have the same kavachomer. If even just between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and we ignore Rabbi Shimon. So b'makom Rabbi Yossi, obviously it's not going to be registering against Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi even outweighs Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but what about the two that were outweighed? In other words, what if there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? Do we have a rule about that, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, my take, that we do not have any kind of clear-cut psak. Omer of Mesharshia, I don't go for any of this stuff. I don't believe in these rules. Forget about it. Throw them out. You need to decide halacha based on halacha, and these rules are nothing but confusing, and they make people rely on concepts that they don't know enough about. I say ignore them all. Ooh. Oh, I mean, these were rules that were set by sort of important people, weren't they? How does Rabbi Mesharshia know that he has a right to just throw everything out? So could it be from the Mishnah that we had? Rabbi Shimon says, right at the end of our Mishnah, Lama hadavar domeh, what is we going to compare? The case of the three individuals where we had the two people that they overlap the middle person, but they don't overlap each other, right? So he made this strange comparison to a case of three chatzerot, all of which have their own private opening to Rishus HaRabim, and they also have a doorway between one and the adjacent chatzer. And the halacha over there were that if the shtayim chitzonot ima emtsait, if right and left made their own separate Erev with middle, so then the middle is allowed to carry into either right and left, and right and left could carry into the middle. But you cannot carry from right to left and from left to right, right? So it's the same thing. Now, Rav Chama Bar Guria said that Rav said about this Mishnah that the halacha goes Aliba Rabbi Shimon, okay? And this is Rav is paskling like Rabbi Shimon, despite the fact that it says that the Rabbanan argue on him, and that it says Beferish in the Braita. So now you can see that Rav Misharsha is right and that we ignore this general clawing. Because who is the Tana that was arguing with Rabbi Shimon that is quoted in the Braita or that is implied in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. Didn't you say that whenever there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, so you see that that's not true. Please forget about it. What are you talking about, man? That din, Rav Misharsha, that din didn't say we always paskin like Mr. A or B or C. That din said that if we did not paskin, meaning that we never had a minion about it, we never had a bezdin that made a psak, that then if it's left open to the decision of the individual posek, these are the rules. Now, what are you bringing me a case where we did paskin like somebody? That's ridiculous. We could paskin like whoever we want to. We never said a kalal about a place that there was a psak, umay kusha. Yomahecha, the itmar, itmar, where it says beferish, this is not law. There was such a psak. So then, of course, there was no rule. But if nothing was ever defined la halacha, so then that's when the rule applies. And what are you bringing me, a raya, that ignore the rules because of the fact that we find that they made piskei halacha? That's idiotic. Okay, all right. So there's another basis for Rav Misharsha, okay? Rav Misharsha wants to ignore the rules. We can learn it from a Mishnah, a different Mishnah. You have a city, Rashi understands, the city that we're talking about over here is Ir Shel Yachid. If you had first, Rashi understands Yochin and Rabim as being in terms of the number of people. Remember, this is Rashi Shita, that a Rabim, in terms of Rishus, a Rabim is defined by the Digle Midbar. And therefore, you need a population of 600,000 people that would be using the roadways, right? So you started off with a small town and it became a big town, meaning it now has 600,000 users. Now, halacha over there is you can actually make a sheet of mavos, meaning you can make an eruv that includes the entire town. Now, this is Rashi's approach. Other Rishonim learned that it means exactly what it says. It's talking about private ownership versus public ownership, but we'll get to that later when we reach the Mishnah. It's not important for us right now. We're just trying to prove whether we follow the rules about psak, right? If, however, it was originally a town that had a Rishus HaRabim in it, what's the din in a town like that? If you wanted to bake shituf mevaot in a town like that, can you make what we call an eruv, you know, like a tzuras ha-pesach around the whole town? Can you include the whole town if it has rishus harabim d'oraisa in it? No, you cannot, right? So therefore, if it became a town that is now no longer with this problem, you still can't go ahead and make the entire thing because people will get confused and they'll think you can make an Erev in a town with the Rishus HaRabim. So what you have to do over there is you can put together the whole town, but you've got to leave out an area that is at least equivalent to the city called Chadasha. This is, you know, it's New Square, I think they call it today, in Yehuda. Over there, it's a town that has 50 people, a population of 50. And therefore, to make it clear to people, hey, just remember, buddy, if it's a Rishus HaRabim town, you cannot make an Erev in it, okay? So the Erev that we made, you notice we left out this whole piece of town. Why do you think we did that? Because this town once had a real Rishus HaRabim. Just remember, man. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need that. 50 people. All you need to have is three chatzeros, and in each one of these three chatzeros, there's a minimum of two homes, and that's enough to make the point. You made the point, and Rav Chama Bar Gurya said, Rav Paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, Tainas Rabbi Shimon, Tainas Rav Misharsha, no. Who's arguing over in Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. I thought you said that wherever we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, I'm right. You can throw out these rules. Says the Gemara again. I don't understand your point, Rav Misharsha. I said to you already before, if an existing psak is there, obviously a rule doesn't obtain. We're talking about cases where there was no existing rule. So please, don't bring me cases where we made a beferish psak like A or B. Show me that I cannot rely on these piskei halachas in general. I don't see where you get that from. We'll continue this question tomorrow. And now we move on to our ohalot for the day.